Lord, prayer and communion with you, hearing your voice, sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, is my great need tonight. It's all of our need. And we're come, Lord, to sit at your feet and hear what the Lord would say to us, impart to us, how you would change and transform us. You are the lover of our souls. You know our frame. You know us better than we know ourselves, every need that we have. And it's our prayer, Lord, Father, that you would glorify your Son over these next few days through the power of your word, the anointing and speaking of your Spirit, and that we would leave this place unlike we came, transformed, Lord. Even for those who are walking in the enjoyment of fellowship with you, we know there's more. We pray for more, for enlargement, for a deepening work, Lord, for a greater perfecting and sanctifying of your life within us. So we're cast on you, Lord, tonight and in these days. We pray for the blessed Holy Spirit's leading and speaking through, Lord, earthen vessels. All we can do, Lord, is yield to you. And we believe that you're present among us and that your great desire is to bless us. Thank you. Do you realize that the last thing that Jesus did, the ascended Christ, the last thing that the apostles would have seen as Jesus disappeared into the cloud? It says in the scripture that as he was lifted up, he blessed them. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That their last visible memory of Jesus after those 40 days spending with him, the resurrected Christ, was that he blessed them. I believe it's God's desire, his will, to bless you, to bless each and every one of you, myself included, in a fresh way. I want that, don't you? Amen. I need that, don't you? Very, very much. And that's going to happen as we are yielded to him and open to the third and equal member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. I asked Tom a couple of months ago when he extended this invitation to me, is there anything in particular, a topic, a subject, passage of scripture that you would like me to speak about? And he asked me this question. He said, have you ever come here and spoken about the Holy Spirit? And I said, no, I don't think so. Would that be good? And he said, well, it might be appropriate. Why don't you pray about that? And I have. And I will speak over these next few days, God willing, God enabling, about the precious Holy Spirit. Just this past week, on the airplane coming up here in a magazine I have with me, I read this. I was shocked by it. It was a Barner survey that only, listen to me, only 25% of American Christians believe in the Holy Spirit. Isn't that remarkable? Only 25% of those who profess to be Christian believe in the Holy Spirit. The survey didn't go on to tell us the number of people who give lip service to the Holy Spirit. But as far as his experiential reality in their lives, he's virtually non-existent. And if you will forgive me, if you wanted a title for this whole series that I'm going to bring, I would put it to you in the form of a question. Not a good question particularly, but I think it's a thought-provoking question for us. And here's the question. What good is the Holy Spirit? What good is the Holy Spirit? Tom mentioned that we have Pastor Jim Cimbala coming to us next Thursday, a week from today. He will be conducting an all-day conference with pastors and Christian leaders, ministry leaders, in Titusville, where we live. Something we've been praying about for many, many years. I was up in Brooklyn and participating in a conference at the Brooklyn Tabernacle in April. And I heard Jim Cimbala say this. He'd been invited to a particular city, a large church, and was a guest speaker, which was fine. The pastor took him aside just a few minutes before the service began, and he said, "This is what's going to happen." He said, "Brother Bill is going to come up, and he's going to give an introduction for 3.5 minutes. Brother Tom, our worship leader, for the next 17 minutes, he will lead us in worship. We will have 3 hymns or choruses. After that, Brother Joe is going to take 2.5 minutes. He will pray, and then the offering plates will be distributed. And for 3 minutes, we'll sing another song. We don't want you to pray or do anything. We just want you to speak. You have 27 minutes to speak. And we will close. Please don't give an invitation or anything like that. We will close the service. The assistant pastor will do that. But I'd like to just now pray with you, brother. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to come and bless our time together and lead us. What room? What room is there for the Holy Spirit to move and have his way among us? Here's a quote. Again, it was a tweet, actually, I read this week. Very, very, very current. This pastor said, "Being a Christian means experiencing the supernatural every day." Think of that. This is what he says. Being a Christian means experiencing the supernatural every day. You say, "Sandy, who was it that tweeted that?" John Piper. That's what John Piper says. I'm sure he's not thinking of were going around doing all kinds of miraculous signs and wonders. But the point he was making is that this Christian life that we live is inexplicable. It cannot be lived out in the natural. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The life that we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith, by faith of the Son of God who lives in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. What goes on in my life, the activity of my life, is not me. It's not me imitating Jesus. It's the life of Jesus in me and through me flowing. And it's supernatural. And with the fullness of the Spirit and with the intimacy of the Holy Spirit, wonderful things happen. Wonderful coincidences take place. Beth and I got off the airplane in Minneapolis, and we were looking for directions for the rental car company. Where's their desk? So I went to the information booth, and there was a man there, an elderly man, and I could see he was reading a book and taking notes, and I saw the cover of the book, and I saw the author of the book. The author was a man, a godly theologian who's since gone to be with the Lord, by the name of F.F. Bruce, and it was on the Apostle Paul. And I said, "Boy, that's good stuff you're reading there, brother." And he says, "Yes, it is." He said, "I did my doctorate under F.F. Bruce." And we had this wonderful conversation, coincidentally, as we got off the airplane. "Why are you here, brother?" "My wife and I were speaking at this camp conference. And what are you going to speak on?" I said, "I believe the Lord would have me to speak about the Holy Spirit. I will pray for you." So we have this brother from the Minneapolis airport, coincidentally, praying for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that kind of a divine appointment. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Someone once said concerning the creed that is recited so frequently, "We believe in the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ the Son." But the Holy Spirit we're not so sure about. And perhaps the case with you, that you're just not so sure about the Holy Spirit. Interesting enough, in these days, all we're going to do tonight is have a bit of an introduction, and then we're going to pray. Okay? We won't belabor it, but we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to meet with us and those who are going to join us in the next day or two in a powerful way. I believe God wants each and every one of us to have a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit of God. In your mind, what would you say is the greatest sin in the church today? The greatest sin in the church today. A lot of spectacular sins that hit the news. Adultery. Pornography is huge among so many men. Worldliness, bitterness, anger, unforgiveness. Many of those we could say, that's the greatest sin in the church today. Do you know what I believe the greatest sin in the church today is? That we're not obeying the command of Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Because I believe if we were under the supernatural, continuous daily control of the Holy Spirit, 90% of those things I've just mentioned and other things would be corrected just like that. Is the Holy Spirit your best friend? I pastored a Baptist church for several years in Orlando. And although they didn't verbalize this, there's no doubt that they believed the Trinity was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not an influence. The Holy Spirit is not a power. I read this, that during a children's story time on Pentecost Sunday, a woman was trying to portray the reality of the Spirit by blowing on a piece of paper and letting it fly away. The Spirit is like that, she said, like the wind, very real in its visible effects, yet nevertheless invisible. At which point, a six-year-old blurted out, "But I want the wind to be uninvisible." And I think many of us are like that. I want the Holy Spirit to be uninvisible. Someone else once said, "God the Father makes perfectly good sense to me, and God the Son I quite understand, but God the Holy Spirit is a gray blur." How many of the Lord's people can identify with that kind of a statement? For those of you who were there last night, I mentioned that I lead quite a large pastor's prayer group. Recently, just out of curiosity, I asked them, "Just tell us, what did you preach on last Sunday? What was the title of your message?" 8 of them, listen to this. This is very interesting. 8 of them said, "I preached on the Holy Spirit." 2 of them had identical texts. My great need, our great need in these days, is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He's not an it. The difficulty we have is that the first person of the Trinity has a name, the Father, as does the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ the Son. But the Holy Spirit doesn't have a name other than references such as wind, water. What are some of the others? Fire. Sorry? Oil. Those are some of the references. But they are non-personified references. He's the Holy Spirit. When I came to pastor our church, it would have been a strange thing if I was introduced as, "We want to welcome the pastor." Yes, we do. And if that point, from that point on, everybody addressed me as the pastor. No. Doesn't he have a name? No, he's the pastor. Good morning, the pastor. Good sermon, the pastor. No. It's because the Holy Spirit doesn't have a name that we have some difficulty understanding his personage. But the Bible is very, very clear that he is a person. He's the equal member of the Godhead. Where is the Father right now? Where is the Father right now? Where is the Son right now? And where is He situated? Is that true? Then where is the Holy Spirit? He's on earth. He's God, the Holy Spirit, on earth. And where does He live? He lives within His people, within the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, His dwelling place. Hallelujah. There's no greater truth than that for us as Christians, that God indwells us by the Holy Spirit. And by so doing, as we yield to Him and are sensitive to Him, He speaks to us. He guides us. He directs us. He encourages us. He strengthens us. Doesn't He? He opens the Word to us. People ask me, well, what is the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, one might say, if you even like the term, which I don't particularly like it, but as far as evidence is concerned, but first of all, His name is Holy Spirit. So when He comes to live in your life and my life, He is going to impart His nature, which is holiness, the holiness of God, into us. And we know that from Romans chapter 5, verse 5, that the Scripture says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So He's going to baptize us with His love, with the love of Christ. One of the ways in which I knew that I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit, although I was a Christian, I had responded to what I heard of the gospel at Wishing Well Acres Baptist Church. Well, what were you doing going to that church? Well, I met a beautiful young woman who happened to be a very shy shoe sales clerk at Kinney Shoe Store in Toronto. And as soon as I saw her, I thought, that's the one for me. And we began dating, and she said, the first thing you need to know is that I'm a Christian. And I thought, no problem. Isn't everybody? Because I remember filling out the forms at school when you had to put in your religion. I'm sure you don't do that these days. But remember, you were either Protestant or Catholic. I knew I wasn't Catholic, so I thought, I must be a Protestant. To me, I'm Christian. And so, no problem dating her. She says, the other thing you need to know is we're Baptist. And on Sundays, we go to church. I can't go out with you. I can't go on a date. But if you want to come to church, you can be with me. So, because I had this intense desire to know God and be right with God and seeking God and so zealous for the Lord, I thought, I want to be at church every hour the doors are open. So I went to Sunday school. I went to morning service. We went to the afternoon witnessing classes. We came back for Sunday night classes or Sunday night service. And I got to spend time with her. Yes, I had ulterior motives for being at church. But God used that, and that's when I first heard the gospel. And I responded. However, I knew I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. I didn't talk in those terms back then, but one of the reasons I knew is that my life really didn't change. I had no power over sin. I had no courage. I had no boldness. I had no change in my own desperately fearful, introverted nature. I just believed if I died, I'd go to heaven, and that was good enough for me. And the second reason I knew is that I had big problems with my mother-in-law. When I heard that she thought that I wasn't good enough for her daughter. So, I began reading the Bible, and I began reading in things such as, if you say you love God, but you don't love whom you can't see, and yet you don't love those you can see, you know, you're deceived. So, something wasn't right. That was in 1968. And we stopped going to church. And I was even more miserable. Until we met this couple on the ninth floor where we lived, 40 Tuxedo Court in Toronto. Our apartment was 915. This man that Beth met lived in 903. And he was carrying this big honking Bible on the elevator. And they got chatting. And he invited us to a Bible study on Friday night, November the 13th, 1970. And so we were green as grass. We were naive. And I knew that things weren't working out. I wasn't happy. Had to be more. So we went to this Bible study. And all I remember about that Bible study is small group of people, lovely people, and Ross Millard, along with his wife Ruth, they asked us this question. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Beth said, we're Baptists. We don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. And I knew less than she did. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Would you like to receive the Holy Spirit? Yes. Why not? We were so green. We were almost biblically illiterate, but there was just a lovely spirit in that place that night. And we said yes. So they said, just open your heart. We're going to pray for you. So we're kneeling down in the living room beside each other. Oh, well, ladies over here, men over there, I guess it was, Beth says. So they began praying for her and praying for me. The thing I was conscious of was the fact that very, very shortly after they began praying for Beth, my very stable, together, unemotional, in a wrong way, she wasn't a fanatic, wife, she begins praying out in this unknown language. And I looked over, and she's worshiping the Lord in this language that she'd never learned before, in another tongue. And when I saw that happen and heard that, I said, Lord, don't leave me out. Please, don't leave me out. And God, that night, November 13th, 1970, God filled me with His Holy Spirit. And what I knew intellectually And what I believed in my mind was now experientially real. I.e., I knew God was real. And not just because I too was blessed with the gift, the wonderful gift, a gift I use to this day, of a heavenly language, a gift by God's grace of being able to worship Him and praise Him in a language that I've never known that is so edifying to me. It was kind of, I was conscious of this. I was out running around Mineota yesterday. And so I'm running along yesterday morning and I'm just lost in wonder, love and praise. And I'm thanking the Lord. I'm speaking to the Lord. I'm praising the Lord. And then I just broke out in and I was worshiping in another tongue and just running along, you know, sometimes with my eyes closed, which was crazy, I know. But I was just, and then I thought, wow, people are going to think I'm crazy. But it was just wonderful to be so intimate with the Holy Spirit who was leading me in my worship into the presence of God the Father and God the Son, the giver. God the giver of the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. And I've come to this camp conference wanting to become more intimate with this, my best friend, the Holy Spirit. And I'm praying that God is really going to move amongst us and bless us however He wishes. I have read in the last couple of months the New Testament, and particularly the book of Acts, many times, at one sitting. I'd encourage you to do so while you're here. Find some time to get alone with the Lord and just see the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the early church. And as we do that, we ask ourselves, is the church today getting by without the supernatural presence of the Holy Spirit? Excuse me. We can do church. We can have church without the Holy Spirit. I don't want that, do you? As we come together this week, don't we want to give the Holy Spirit just a lot of room? Not like what Jim Cimbala said. We don't want to pay lip service. Say, Holy Spirit, just come and lead and speak. I want you to pray for me as I share the scriptures with you and the other folks that will come together. But most importantly, I'm praying that our time together will be not just educational, but it will be experiential. I want that, don't you? Transformational. Because we have need. And we need power. We need the presence of God with us and in us, don't we? And I believe that we can take God at His word. And I want to step out in faith, believing God for some great things for you, for your life, and for my life. That God will be glorified. In our church last Sunday, I encouraged the people, I exhorted them, I said, you know, the Bible says that Elijah was a man with like nature as we have. And he prayed to God, and God answered miraculously. And there was no explanation for what took place other than God did it. And I want to encourage you to pray at least one big prayer, one audacious prayer, that you know when that prayer is answered, only God could have done this. Out of my control. I'm impotent. I'm powerless. I can't do this. I can't fix him. I can't fix her. I can't correct this. I can't supply that. I'm asking the Holy Spirit right now to lay upon your heart one big thing. Like when Jesus came and said to one person, "What do you want me to do for you?" You could say, "Lord, you know." But he wants to hear you say it. "Lord, this is what I want you to do. Will you do this for me this weekend?" And for testimonies to come forth from this gathering of people of what Jesus has done to his glory, honor, and praise through the power of his Holy Spirit and the miraculous working of God in your circumstances, we're going to have to get out of our boats. We're going to have to pray as the apostle prayed, "Lord, increase our faith." The Holy Spirit, he becomes so intimate with us as we are sensitive to him and listening to his inward voice and his promptings. You know he can be grieved. You know he can be quenched. You know he can be thwarted individually and in our churches. But oh, to be walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, is joy unspeakable. For the past 2 years, as you know, Beth has been going through cancer treatments. The bill at the cancer hospital is well over $1 million already. And we've got very high deductible on our insurance, catastrophic insurance, but $12,000 deductible that comes out of our pocket. And a year ago, Christmas passed, we had this huge bill outstanding with the hospital. $16,000 outstanding. And we didn't have the money to pay it. So, of course, you pray about it. And we had saved some money. We've got this vase at home where we deposit money. We're trying to follow Dave Ramsey's encouragement to always have $1,000 cash on hand in the house somewhere in case of emergency. So we were doing that, and we passed $1,000. We had $3,200 cash in this vase. I said to Beth, if I die unexpectedly, whatever you do, don't throw out that vase. You know, there's money in that vase. Anyway, I took out the $3,200 because I had some bills to pay, and my intention was to put the entire $3,200, this was around mid-December, to put all of the $3,200 in the bank. And I don't know what happened to me. I got to the bank. I got talking to the teller. I got all confused. I'm over 50. And then some. And I ended up walking away, and I thought, what am I thinking? I had a lunch appointment with a pastor, and I thought, what am I thinking? I've got $900 cash in my pocket still. I didn't put it all in. I only put $2,300 in, and I got $900 cash in my pocket. I thought, dear, oh dear. But I didn't have time to go back and sort it all out, so I drove to my lunch meeting with the pastor. And began asking him how things were going. He's a bivocational pastor. And I said to him, Jeff, how's your business going? How are finances? He said, we're in crisis mode right now. He says, we are really hurting. And he gave me some of the details. And I heard this voice say, give him the 900. I said, what about my wife? Best not tell her. I sensed the Spirit as this guy was, he's just sharing the reality of life, that things, they were hurting financially. I mean, right there and then. And I sensed the Holy Spirit prompting me, give him the 900. And I did. And Sandy, you don't know how this is an answer to prayer. And what a blessing this is. And I thought, you don't know what trouble I'm in because I'm doing this and obeying the prompting of the Spirit. This is the gospel truth. The very next week, totally unsolicited, unexpected, I got a check in the mail. People knew this thing with the deductible, $16,000. I got a check in the mail from a friend for $16,000. Yeah. To pay that. I think, wow. Let's give the Lord a hand. It says in Acts chapter 5, verse 33, the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey Him. And we need to obey Him. He's sovereign God. He knows what He is doing. And He's looking for people who will be totally led and controlled by Him and will trust Him. Big time. So we want to open our hearts to the Holy Spirit. Incredible, incredible, amazing statement that Jesus made to His disciples. He said, it's expedient that I go away. John 16. It's expedient. It's advantageous. It's profitable for you that I go away. And then He goes on to tell them why. Because if I go away, I will then be able to send the promised Spirit who is with you, but in that day will be in you. How shocked. How shocked they must have been at that statement by Jesus. What can be better than having Jesus in the flesh with you? But there is something and someone better than Jesus with you. It's having the person of the Holy Spirit who brings the life of Christ in us. Very interesting that in these days there's a new awakening, a new awareness, a new realization of our absolute dependency and need for the Holy Spirit of God to truly, not just superficially or giving lip service, to be governing our lives, in control of our lives. Read through Acts. I've gone through all the epistles and looked at every place where the Holy Spirit is mentioned. You think, wow, we're living beneath our privilege. We're missing the mark as the Church of Jesus Christ. I mean, if Paul were to come back today, I don't think he'd recognize most churches. And the way we so control, that's what it is, especially as pastors, we want to be in control of the Holy Spirit. We had a service I mentioned last night. services recently. I mean, we really, as a leadership, want to see the Holy Spirit move in our lives and the gifts of the Spirit to be operative. And I could tell you many stories of, by so doing, how people have just had their mail read, been really blessed. One guy was going to, he said, "This is it. I'm leaving church." And Beth, as it turned out, brought a prophetic word, and it read his mail to a T. And that one prophetic word saved his bacon. Didn't it, Beth? It was for him. The Holy Spirit. Many books being written today by people like Jim Cimbala. His latest book is called Spirit Rising. Spirit Rising. Francis Chan, some of you may have heard of him. He's written a book most recently called The Forgotten God. Robert Morris, the pastor of Gateway Church in Dallas, Texas, has written a book called The God I Never Knew. And he tells a story in that book. You'll like it, Daniel. You'll like it very much. He was in a restaurant with his wife. True story. In a restaurant with his wife. And over at one table, he notices a man that's built like Hercules. He's the Incredible Hulk. And he's sitting there with a woman. Turns out it was his wife. And he sensed the Holy Spirit saying to him, "I want you to go and talk to him. I have a word for him." So what do you do? Well, it's easy to say do it, but do you trust that voice? So he excused himself from the table, and he went up to him and said, "Hi, my name's Robert Morris, and just want to ask you a couple. You pump a little iron, do you?" Guy says, "Yeah, a little bit." He said, "I was just sitting there, and I sense God told me something about you, and I'm just wanting to know, do you want to hear it?" And he says, "Yeah, sure, go ahead." He said, "God showed me that when you were a young boy, you were sitting on your grandmother's knee, and she was telling you the story of Samson. And she said to you, God is going to make you strong, very strong. And he wants you to use that strength that he's given to you for his glory. And the question he would ask you is, I've done my part, why haven't you done yours?" And there was this long silence. He wondered if the guy was going to get up and plow him. The guy began crying. He said, "I've never told anyone that story until tonight. On the way to this restaurant, I just told my wife. Because I've been sensing my need to come back to God. I'm away from God." Crying. He led both of them to the Lord. John Piper says, the Christian life is a supernatural life where we can have things like that happening. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that the book of Acts all over again? So we come afresh over these days and we say, Lord, we want to be filled with your Spirit. We want to be baptized with your Holy Spirit. And we'll look into the Scriptures and we'll see what the Scripture says, particularly out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus, concerning the gift and the blessing and the reception of the Holy Spirit. And he's not one to be shied away from or to be running away from. He's to be welcomed. He's to be received with grateful hearts. He's a gift. He is the gift of God. He's the gift of God to us. He is the revelator of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just the scriptures, but he reveals Jesus, your Savior, to us. He's the lover of Christ. He's the evangelist. He's the life and power of God. He's the transformer. He causes us to live a supernatural life. We become the people, the free and liberated people that God intends us to be, where we're no longer bound by the limitations of our own personality, no longer restricted. He frees us and makes us new men, new women, new young people. He does that. He comes to make effectual all that Jesus has done on the cross, and he brings the power of the cross to deal with sin and self and to fill us with the life of Christ so that we can do the work and ministry that God has for us. Hallelujah. So I believe that this place, this room, where we've met so many times before, is going to be a holy place. Not because of this building, but because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I want us to pray, and I want you to continue to pray through these days. Oh Lord, grace us with the fullness of your Spirit, a new experiential reality of your Spirit while we're together. And pray for me and read your scripture and ask the Lord to open up the word to you. And particularly in the book of Acts. And let's just believe God for a great time in his presence and a blessing. Ascended Christ is still blessing his people. Amen. Amen. Amen.